We are holding on Gimel Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. The line begins 14 lines from the bottom line. Okay, we mentioned a pasuk. We mentioned earlier about Hashem spends part of the day studying Torah, and we talked also about Hashem, how Hashem teaches little children Torah. So more in connection about Torah, and then we're going to come back to the pasuk that we quoted before about Hashem listening to the song of the Chayyus.
If a person interrupts from learning Torah and interrupts it in order to talk sicha b'teila, unnecessary talk.
The Rambam summarizes, like six different kinds of talk. The Rambam says, which you have, there's ones that are holy, like Torah and Tefillah. You have ones that are optional. You have ones that are also whatever. Rambam b'teila, and ones that don't have to do with Torah. He will be said cold of the sun. Or right then, the sun in a kind of tweet, which is called a broom tweet. The Gemara mentions in a few different places that the coals of it are very, very long lasting. Even when on the outside they seem to be out, they seem to have been extinguished, they're still hot on the inside. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Hakotfim maluach alesiach v'shodesh resomim lachmam. The simple meaning of the pasuk, Tosfos mentions over here, is that he is
describing over there people who don't belong in civilized society, people who are close in, they pick maluach, some kind of herbs or mosses or whatever, aleisiyah, by the plant on the plant.
From the bushes, v'shodesh resomim lachmam, and they eat roots of roisim. Again, like people who are living out in the wilds over there, not in civilized society. But the Gemara is darshining, and hakotfim, they pick, in other words, like they pick off, they stop. They interrupt. Maluach. Maluach means Torah, either because it's Maloshin Lecha, which means moisture, as in the Torah, which has the Torah, which gives us freshness and moisture in our life. Maybe, but okay. Rashi says the second explanation is Maluach means the word related to the word Luchos, as in the Torah, which was written on Luchos. Anyway, Hakotfim Maluach, the people who interrupt the Maluach, the Torah, Alei Siach, in order to talk, Siach,
then the shodesh with some lachmam, then their food will be the roots of roisim. They're the coals of roisim, as you said. The
pshat, again, I just said, means people who are describing uncivilized people who just eat like moss and roots and things like that rather than normal human food. But you were darshaning it, yeah. And Marsha points out also, usually in other Gemaras, gachlei resamim is used as a metaphor for lashon hara. Because again, the same idea, like even when they seem to be cold on the outside, they're still hot on the inside, the same way as Lashon Hara, even it doesn't seem to have much of an effect right now, but eventually it has a big, terrible effect. The point is, over here, a person starts being involved with Sicha B'Teila, with empty talk, in the middle of learning Torah, eventually a person is likely, that'll be the Shodesh, that's the root of the Roisim, which eventually will lead them to Lashon Hara and other such talk, which is Aser, and that'll be the actual Gachlei Rasam.
Isn't it odd that Tosfos makes a point of mentioning what the simple taich is. Like, isn't every agadita usually not the simple taich?
I saw an explanation, I don't remember from who, that the reason why Tosfos was forced to do that is because otherwise we would have to ask why in the drasha, why is there a vav over there? I quote for purposes of the drasha, the vav shouldn't be there. I quote from maluach alesiach, those who tear off the luach, the Torah, in order to talk. Then the result is shodesh resomim lachmam. That they'll eat eat the roots of rice. And why is the vav there? The vav is because of the simple meaning of the pasuk has a different meaning.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I saw also, by the way, an interesting verse that's brought in the name of the brisker rav, Rabbi Yisrael Leib Diskin, who says the vav is also a person eats cold. Not only they can't eat now, not only it burns their mouth now, but it means in the future also they're not going to be able to use their mouth properly. The same way he says a person who does this, not only it means it has an effect on them right now, but it means even in the longer term it ruins their ability to be able to learn properly. The fact that a person interrupts and starts talking sicha b'teila. Okay, on the positive side, Amar Rish Lakish, Kala Oisik Batorah Balayla, a person who is involved in learning Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Chalav Chut Shal Chesed Bayayim. Hashem draws over him a thread of kindness by day.
We saw this
possibly. We learned this before, yeah. The Gemara mentions this at Chagiga, so it was a few years back, yeah. Shenema, Yoimam Yitzava Hashem Chesed, the Pasuk is, by day Hashem commands his Chesed, Uvalayla Shirei Imi, and by night his song is with me. meaning matam yomi mitzav Hashemcha. So what causes it that by day Hashem gives your chesed and makes it, as Rashi says, no sinchine ve'ene abriyas, makes it you appear graceful in people's eyes? That is mishum de balayla shira imi, because by night you had Hashem's song, the Torah, with you. One explanation, Marsha, I think it is, says the vote is usually a person stays up by night. Usually they look tired and they look out of it the next day. But here, when a person stays up by night to learn Torah, then Hashem makes them look graceful and appealing to people the next day. Ikadamri, another version of this drasha, Amar Shlokish, Kala Isik Batura Ba'ulam Hazeh Adom Lalaila. Anybody who occupies themselves with Torah in this world,
so which is saying that if they learn Torah during the day, the chut of chesed is not there for them?
Not as much because the fact that a person, first of all, during the day, a person is usually working. But second of all, the learning Torah by night is the more important thing, because first of all, it's when you don't, it's like this, you're giving up your sleep. Rashi brings over here from David that he slept very little by night, so he should have time to learn Torah. So therefore, it shows that a person has a greater connection with Torah. The Gemara, in fact, talks about an Eruvin, where the moon was created to give us light to be able to learn by. So the Rambam summarizes it. The Rambam writes, "In Eruvin Tama Torah, Ein Adam Loymed Roiv Chachma Se'el Balayla." A person learns most of their Chachma by night. Ikadamri, another version of the Drasha, Amar Shlokish, Kala Isik Batorah Ba'olam Hazeh Adom Lalaila. Anybody who occupies themselves with Torah in this world, which is like the night, because El Akos is not clear in it. Then Hashem will bring a thread of chesed on him in Olam Haba. In other words, Hashem will give him special favor in Olam Haba, which is similar to day, because of course it's clear there.
Same thing.
It means that he'll have more. Same thing. That Hashem will cause his chesed by day, meaning not just the actual day time of every 24-hour period, but also the ultimate day of Olam Haba. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rab. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. My dichtiv vatasa adam kedei hayom. What does it mean? A pasuk says you make people like fish of the sea. Kedremes loy moshe boy, like creatures, like crawling creatures that nobody has any dominion. Nobody dominates them. Nobody rules over them. Lama nimshem bnei adam kedei hayom. Why are people compared to fish? Like this, loy maloch, madogim shabayam kiven sha'olim layabosham yad mesim, just as the fish in the sea, as soon as they come out to dry land, they're immediately dead. Ach b'nei adam kiven shaparshim b'divei Torah min ha-mitzvah. So it is, when people separate themselves from Torah and from mitzvahs, miyad mesim, right away they die, not necessarily begashmius, of course, but beruchmius, as in the famous mashal that Rabbi Akiva says to Papus ben Yehuda, that here in the water we're in danger from the nets, but on dry land, we're definitely goners. And by the way, before Shem add the detail, I mean, even you take a fish out of the sea, it's not immediately dead, it takes a few minutes, but still, it's already almost as good as dead. It's not going to live there very long. In the same way, a yid can't live very long without Torah and Mitzvahs. Dovrach, madogim shabayam kiven shekodra aleim kama miyad meisim, just as the fish of the sea, when the sun shines intensely on them, they immediately die, even when they're in the water. So it is with people. As soon as the sun shines intensely on them, they also die. Now, what do we mean by that? You can understand that as referring to this world, a person who gets heat stroke, sunstroke, or whatever, or you can refer it to Olam Haba. That would be like what Rav Chanina says. We learned this in Ksubas and in other places, in Bava Metzia. No. Tosfos points out there's a difference. When we say Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyiras Shemayim, that means as far as a person's behavior is in his own hand. A person has Bechira Chopshit. Hashem doesn't determine whether we know. Hashem determines before a person is born everything that's going to happen to him, but not if he's a tzaddik or a rasha like karma. Hashem doesn't determine whether he's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, and on an ongoing basis also, Hashem doesn't determine whether a person is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Hashem leaves it in our hands. No, here we're talking about events that happen to a person. Different events that happen to a person are bidei shemayim, chutz mitzinim pachem, except for cold and heat. Tzinim means cold. Pachem, Rashi explains on the basis of another pasuk, means sicknesses that come from heat. Shenema, the pasuk says, tzinim pachem bederech ikesh, cold and heat are in the way of a stubborn person, a crooked person. Shomer nafshei yirchak mehem, a person who watches their own life will stay away from it. In other words, a person is responsible to guard themselves against the heat and the cold. So therefore, that's what we mean. In other words, in gashmius, it means if a person is intensely under the sunlight, it's going to harm them. That's in that sense, a person is like a fish. Strongness at actual heat of the sun. The person gets sunstroke, the person gets sunburn, whatever. Yeah. That's what we're saying. Literally, it means that we're comparing people to fish. Fish aren't safe from that, even in the water. They can get burnt by the too intense sun. The same thing, a person can also get harmed by it, and therefore a person has to realize that they're responsible to watch out for these things. I've told the story before when we learned the schemata. I've told the story before, famous story involving Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. Hello, Gitzach. That he was sentenced to Siberia. He was sentenced to Siberia for a couple of years, and they made him and the other prisoners run around there. All they gave them was ragged clothing, and they made them run around in temperatures like 40 degrees below zero. So Rabbi Chezkel turns to the Eibishter there and says, you know, look, it says in this Gemara over here, but the fact of the matter is that doesn't apply in this case, where these are Shoyim aren't giving us the ability to protect ourselves from the extremes of temperature. So it goes back to you, Hashem. It has to be Bidei Shemayim. And sure enough, even though he mentioned, Rabbi Chezkel told all of the story years later, he said, when I was a child, I was always very sickly. And when I was older also, but now, these 3 years in Siberia, he never caught so much as a cold. He put his trust in Hashem, and Hashem reciprocated. Then Hashem reciprocated. Okay. Again, this is Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky. He was a well-known Rosh Hashiva. Later on, he became a member of the Beis Din in London. He also at one point he interviewed to be the Rosh Hashiva in Temchut Mimim back around 1910 or so, and there's different versions what exactly happened. One version is that the Talmudim didn't like him. Another version that I've heard is on the contrary, his shiurim and Gemara were so popular that the Bachurim were late to Chassidus. Whatever it was, he didn't get the job, but he was a Rav in a couple of different cities in the Russian Empire, and then eventually he moved after he was released from Siberia. He lived in London for many years. He was a member of the Beis Din there. I think towards the end of his life, I think he lived in Eretz Yisrael, whatever. He was friendly with Lubavitch. He himself wasn't a chassid, but yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Was that the story with Avraham Elia Plotkin who walked him back? After he gave the shir?
Plotkin walked him. I have no idea. Could be.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Okay. Anyway. So that's one, and that's one understanding again that people are like fish in the sense that the intense heat of the sun can harm a person. The other understanding you can say is talking about an olam haba, kiddur of shemin lakish, and then it would mean like what Rish Lakish says. The amr of shemin lakish ain gehenim laasid lavei. Rish Lakish says laasid lavei. When Mashiach comes, there won't have to be gehenim. So how are the Rishayim going to be dealt with? Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu moti chama minautika. Hashem will take the sun out of its heat. Out of its covering, or makdir, and will make it burn intensely hot. Rishoyim nidonin bro, but tzaddikim misrapin bro. The Rishoyim will be judged through it, and the tzaddikim will be healed through it. Marsha points out one idea of this is to show. Marsha points out, for example, the same way as we see in Olam Hazeh, different things are affected by the sun in different ways. You have some things you put them in the sun, they melt, and some things you put them in the sun, they solidify. It's the same sun, but it's a difference of the makabel of what thing you're putting over there. What? Solidify means it becomes hard. Oh. You put an egg out in the sun, for example, it'll become hard. You put wax out in the sun, it'll melt. So the same way, the tzaddikim and the rishayim will be affected differently, but it's not the elokut, what Hashem is sending down, is the same thing. It's the way a person is a makabel for it that affects them one way or the other. Rishayim nidonin ba, how do we know the rishayim will be judged and burnt by that? The pasuk says, ki hini ayoyim ba boyer katanur. The pasuk says, behold, the day is coming that'll burn like an oven. And all the people who did Averis deliberately, and then all the people who did wickedness, will be like a straw. And the sun that is going to come, Rashi explained, usually the word yoim means day, but Rashi over here means that the yoim over here means the sun that rises. The sun that rises will burn them. Omer Hashem Tzvakos says Hashem Tzvakos Asher lo yazav lahem shorish va'onaf, and they won't be left of them root or branch, meaning lo shorish but elam azev lo onaf lo elam abo. They won't have any roots left in this world, and there was any children to follow them, and no branches lo elam abo. So that's the Rishayim. Tzadikim misrapin bo. The tzadikim will be healed through this intense sun. Diftim, as the next pasuk continues, also there in Malachi, v'zorcha lachem yirei shem shmi, they will shine for you, those who fear my name, shemesh tzedakah, son of tzedakah, umarvi b'chnafeha, that'll have healing in its wings, v'goymer. So the tzadikim will enjoy it, whether it means v'gashmias, the sun, whether it means v'ruchnias, the intense gilui alikus, whatever it is, it'll help them. Not only that, they'll it won't harm them, but they'll enjoy it. Shenema, as the pasuk in that same pasuk continues, v'yitzos them, and you will go out, upish them, and you will increase. Rashi explains that pish them is related to words meaning becoming fat and becoming bigger. Ke'egle marbek, like calves that are being fattened up. So in other words, they'll gain from this gili alakus, from this intense sun, as opposed to the Rishonim will be destroyed by it. So that's another. So far we have two ways of understanding in what way people are like fish. One is that in Olam Hazeh they're affected by the sun, the same as a fish. The other is that the same way as fish are affected by Olam Hazeh, the same way. Or actually, no. So we said the first explanation was when the fish come out of the water, they immediately die. Person leaves Torah and Mitzvahs, and yeah. The second one was about the sun, and we said the sun. There's two different meanings: Begashmius and Beruchnius. La Olam Hazeh and La Olam Haba. Davar Acher, another explanation of the comparison with fish. Just like when it comes to the fish in the sea, the bigger fish swallow the smaller fish. And by the way, that's true. You know, when you get down to it here on the land, of course, you also have bigger animals eat smaller animals, but it's only some kinds of animals. Fish, almost all of them are carnivorous like that. As a matter of fact, actually, I mean, we even have among the kashrut of fish, unlike with the land animals, where an animal is only among the various explanations why only certain animals are kashrut and certain birds is because we don't want the predators, we don't want to get their nature. With fish, it's not like that. There are many kashrut of fish that are predators.
Why?
Because that's just how it is, because that's how they just made fish. Why is it as far as kashrut? Because fish are so different than anything on land that there's no concern that we're gonna absorb that nature. Fish are from Almagest captive, they're a whole different.
Are the animals vegetables here? There's nothing in the world.
Well, there's that. Right, okay, I guess that's right. Okay. So bigger
is there anywhere where that's discussed?
What?
Anyway, because I once mentioned to someone that, you know, we don't eat non kosher food because we don't want the predator. And then he said, what about fish? They eat each other. And I was totally
dumbfounded. So that's
dumbfounded.
What I was saying. You know,
no, I know, but is there anywhere where it's
such a different kind of
that's...
Yeah.
Right. Do you have a mucker for that? Do you have something that comes to mind that discusses that?
Not really. I don't know any mucker for it, but no, I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay.
Going back to the Gemara, ah, bnei adam umolim mirash malchus. So it is the people. If it weren't for the fear of the government, the greater people, the bigger people, would swallow up the smaller ones. Behind the tznan, like we say in the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Rav Chaninus Gana Koyin, remember, heaven mispal the shleim shal malchus, always daven for the welfare of the government. Shal molim mirash, because if it weren't for the fear of the government, ish esu eir chayim bloy. And one person would swallow the other one up alive. So in that sense, people are like fish.
In the morning.
You sure you? Yeah, I'm blown. That's true, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Rav Chinin of Papa Rami. Rav Chinin of Papa pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. The reason why this comes in over here, because we're going to be talking about when Hashem shows his power and when he doesn't, and eventually that's going to lead back to what we were talking about earlier in the Gemara about how Hashem treats the Yidden versus the Goyim. So, Ksiv, you have one pasuk that says, Shakai lo mitzanuhu sagi koyach. We do not find Hashem overbearing in power. In other words, we don't see that Hashem shows his full power against human beings, because they wouldn't be able to last. Uchtiv, but then you have a pasuk in Tehillim, Gadol Adoneinu v'rov koyach, that our master is great and tremendously strong, which seems to show that Hashem does show his full power. Uchtiv, Yemincha Hashem ne'adori b'koyach. And in this coming week's parasha, in Oz Yashir, we say every day, your right hand, Hashem, is exalted in power, again, which seems to show that Hashem shows his full power.
Exalted, nadari.
Nadari means exalted, yeah.
Meaning
high up, meaning raised high up and in power. Yeah. So what is it? So does Hashem show his full power against human beings or not? The answer is, like Kasha, kan b'shas adin, kan b'shas mocham. One is talking about, so this relates to before, we discussed Hashem's schedule during the day, where part of the day he's judging, and then he sees that the world can't exist with din, and he moves over to kisei rachamim, so yeah. So when it comes to the time of din, then Hashem does not show his full power, because then everybody would be guilty. Nobody would come out worthy. Kan b'shas melchama, when it comes to fighting, then Hashem shows his full power and destroys the enemy completely.
Like the coming week.
Like coming week, yeah, by Al Joshua. Similarly, Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina pointed out a similar contradiction in Sukkim. Ksiv chema einli, one pasuk Hashem says, I have no anger. But you have another pasuk that describes Hashem. Hashem takes revenge, and he is the master of anger. So does he have chema? Does he have anger or not? The answer is, like Kasha, can be Yisrael, can be Ovid Kachovim. One is talking about the Jewish people, one is talking about the Goyim. So to the Jewish people, Hashem doesn't show chema. And in that sense, Hashem has chema only. In fact, there's actually a Gemara in Nedarim. There's actually a Gemara in Nedarim that says that chema was one of the malachim that attacked Moshe Rabbeinu when he. So we know the story in Parashat Shemot. Moshe hadn't done a bris for one of his children, Gershom or Eliezer, according to the different opinions. So malachim come and attack him and are swallowing him up, etc. Until Tzipora does a bris for the baby. So the Gemara mentions over there that one of the malachim that was attacking him was chema. And it was either then or maybe after the Chek Egel, I don't remember exactly, that it says that Moshe actually killed chema. So therefore, chema only. Hashem says, I have no chema when it comes to the Jewish people. When it comes to the goyim, then Hashem is no chema, Hashem will vow. I guess you can kill a malach, I don't know. It says that Moshe did, so obviously he did, yeah. Okay. So as opposed to when it comes to dealing with the goyim, there Hashem says that there Hashem uses his chema. Rav Chinin Abba Papa Omer, Rav Chinin Abba Papa gives a different explanation, or Rashi has a different gives sort of Acha Brachanina, gives a different explanation. Both of them actually are talking about the Jewish people. What it means is, Hashem said, Chema Ainli, the only reason that I don't have anger against the Jewish people, Shekvanish Baiti, because I already swore to the Jewish people that I won't get angry at them. As Rashi brings the pasuk from Yeshaya, Nishvati Mitzvah Alayich. I swore that I'm not going to get angry. This is at some point Hashem says that I maybe by Matan Torah that Hashem that whatever it is when I
came angry.
There's different levels of anger. The kind of anger which are the kind of anger we're talking about over here is the kind of anger we're talking about over here is chema is a destructive anger that would destroy everybody. Hashem says, I don't have that because I do have that, but I don't use it. I don't use it because I already promised. And Hashem continues, Mi yitneni shelo nishmati eya shomer v'shayis. Now, the pasuk where Hashem says, Chema Ainli, you can look in Torah Rashalim, number Vav, the whole pasuk goes like this. Chema Ainli, Hashem says, I have no anger. Mi yitneni, who would, if only somebody would allow me, shomer shayis v'mochama, destruction, utter destruction in war. Efsa ava, I would step on it. Apsisa yachad, and I would apsiseno yachad, and I would burn it all together. Meaning, in other words, Hashem is saying, so to speak, my hands are tied, tav yachol, because I already swore that I'm not going to. But mi yitneni shalom nishbati, if only I hadn't made such a promise, then e yeshomer v'shayis u'gemer, then I would do absolute destruction. Now, on the face of it, this is a continuation of what Rav Chinina Bar Papa is saying, and in that case, it comes out that it's talking about the Jewish people. But we have to ask, why would Hashem be saying so harshly that I wish I could destroy the Jewish people, and I'm only my hands are tied by my shore? So as a matter of fact, one of the explanations. There's a pirush on this mesecta called Avoidas Avoida. A very nice play on words, because the name of the Masechta is Avodah Zarah, that he wrote a sefer called Avodah Savoida, the Avodah of Avodah. Anyway, it's by Rav Shlomo Kluger, and he actually explains that, no, this is not a continuation of what Rav Chinin Abba Papa is saying. This is referring back to the Goyim, that Hashem is saying that Halavai, I can just go ahead and just stomp on all of them, because then in that, why would Hashem be saying about the Jewish people? Why would Hashem be saying about the Jewish people, I wish I could destroy them?
When did this take place?
I mean, the ultimate thing will be lost in love by Hashem is saying.
When did it take place that Hashem swore he won't kill, he won't kill?
That he won't destroy the Jewish people?
He swore?
No. And in general, we know after the Mabel, Hashem swore that he's not going to bring a Mabel on the whole world. But besides that, Hashem is saying, even as far as destroying the rishus in the world, in general, so to speak, my hands are tied because I've sworn that the Geula is going to come at a certain time. How have I? That I wasn't bound by that, and then I could just get rid of them all at once and destroy all the evil. So then according to Rav Shlomo Kluger, anyway, it doesn't mean the Jewish people. Okay. So now the Gemara says, V'hainu d'omer Rav Alexandri. Now this fits together with what Rav Alexandri said. Let's first learn what Rav Alexandri says, and then we'll see what this is referring to. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk says in Zechariah, V'hoya b'yema hu avakish lahashmid et kol ha-goyim. On that day, Hashem says, I will seek to destroy all the nations. So seeking makes it sound like Hashem has to ask permission from somebody. What do you mean? Avakish mimi. Who does Hashem have to ask permission from? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. What it doesn't mean to ask permission, doesn't mean to seek, as in to look for permission. It means to look and see, do they have any chutzim? Hashem says, Avakish benigni shalahem. I am going to search, I'm going to investigate in their nigni, Nigni Rashi says means the book in which all their maisim, in which all their actions are recorded. Tosfos also explains that Nigni means the maisa shalahem, in their actions. There's a word in modern Hebrew. You find it someplace in Midrashim or whatever, manganun, which means like a mechanism, like something that makes something work. It comes from some Greek source or whatever. But Pashtos, our word Nigni is apparently related to that, because it means actions. Anyway.
Nigun?
I don't know if it's related to Nigun, but maybe, okay. Im yesh lahem schus efdeim, Hashem says, if they have a schus, then I will redeem them and save them. V'im lav ashmidim, and if not, then I will destroy them. Now, what is the statement of Rabbi Alexandri referring to? So Rashi says this is going all the way back. This is going back to Daf Gimel. When we mentioned over there, in the whole story over there about Hashem judging the nation, and the nations arguing, well, give us the Torah, and let's start fresh. And Hashem says, yeah, it's too late. However, so I'll give you a break. So Rashi explains, this is referring back to that. This that we're saying, fits with this over here, that Rabbi Alexandri is saying, that when it comes to the nations of the world, Hashem is not just going to punish them and that's that. He's going to try to see, do they have anything that makes them worthy of being saved or not. Like that story with the sukkah. Okay, but still, Hashem, so to speak, looks, as in like Hashem is a good judge. Hashem is a fair judge, right. Tosfos says that that's not what it is, because you have it a whole block from then till now. You're going to have behind the Amar of Alexandri referring back to something that you said a block ago. No, Tosfos says that it's actually referring to what we just said over here about Chema, that Rava had just explained over here, that we had one of the explanations over here about the Chema business. We said one explanation was that it's about the Jewish people versus the Goyim. Rav Chama bar Chanina had said that one is that Chema only refers to Jewish people, whereas I have Chema and it uses Chema, refers to the Goyim. So therefore, in that connection, Rabbi Alexandri is continuing in the same point that Hashem says, I'm going to investigate and see, do the Goyim have any Kutim? And if not, I will destroy them. And therefore, then Hashem will use his Chema and destroy them. Marsha brings yet another explanation. Marsha says it goes even further back than what Rashi says. It goes all the way back to almost the beginning, when we said over there that Hashem starts judging all the nations and asking each one of them, what did you accomplish throughout your history? And the Romans say we built marketplaces, and the Persians say we built bridges, etc., etc. So Hashem is looking, so to speak, like, do they have a schus? Did they do it for the right reason or not? In the end, Hashem says, you didn't do it for the right reasons. You did it for your own selfish reasons. And therefore, so if they had done it for the right reasons, Efdeim, then Hashem would say, I'll use their money to be paid to them. The fact that they amassed all that gold and silver and money and whatever, I will use that to redeem them. That's something making them worthy of being saved. But if not, then that's it. They're goners. Behind the Amar Rava, and thus we also find what Rava said. My dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Iyov? Ach loy b'i yishlach yod, but not with e. E means destruction. Does he send forth his hand? Im b'fidoy lahen shoya. If with his pid, which we'll see in a second, what pid means, then for them there will be shoya. So Rashi on the pasuk explains in the simple sense what it means is that Iyov is saying over there that when Hashem, that even when Hashem punishes a person or a nation or whatever, he doesn't do it in a destructive way, like, I'm going to destroy them and that's that. He does it bit by bit or whatever. He does it in as gentle a way as possible. So here, our Gemara takes a somewhat similar tack. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael means Hashem says to the Jewish people, Shani Donet Yisrael, when I judge the Jewish people, I do not judge them in the same way as I do the Goyim, where they get completely destroyed. Dichtiv, as you have a pasuk that says in Yechezkel, Ava asimena. This is one of those few places in Tanakh where you have the same word repeated three times. We say it twice a day. We say one kodesh, but there's a few other places we have. Yeah. So over here, Rashi explains like this. Ava means like this. The word ava has a double meaning. It means meloshen ovoin, meloshen a sin, and it also means meloshen destruction, like the E that we just quoted from Eos. So ava, they acted in a sinful way. They acted in a crooked, sinful way. Therefore, Ava Asimeno, therefore I will destroy them. That's talking about the Goyim. Marshall points out that no, the Pasuk is actually talking about the Pasuk there in Yechezkel is actually talking about the Jewish people. So he explains that what it means is that the Pasuk is saying little by little, Ava Asimeno, little by little, I'll punish them individually for their different Averis rather than all at once. As opposed to the Goyim. So in other words, ava means every time they do an Aveda, then the Jewish people, they get a punishment for it shortly thereafter rather than it accumulating for hundreds of years, and then they just, yeah. Okay. Ella, Hashem continues, Ani nifra mehen kpid shel tanagolos. Rather, when I punish the Jewish people, it will be like the pid of a chicken. Pid meaning the pecking of a chicken. A chicken pecks a little bit here, a little bit there. So the same way, like Hashem punishes a little bit here, a little bit there. This way, and this way, Rashi also explains the word piv. Seems to be related to the word poda. That this way, by doing pid, by doing little by little, this way, that Hashem is poda, Hashem saves the Jewish people, that they'll be able to go to Olam Haba.
Is that true historically? I mean,
yeah,
and
we have
major questions.
Sometimes we have bigger things. Sometimes we have smaller things. But overall, we never have. We Jewish people have never been destroyed. We're still here. Asa b'nei Yaakov like to live.
That's not what's possible.
Okay, but
we've never been destroyed. Possibly saying
Kepid shel tanagolos. So it's like the pecking of a chicken. I mean, how sometimes a chicken pecks more, sometimes less. But the bottom line is, it's not complete destruction. Unlike the nations where when Nismala starts them, when their bushel of Averis is full, then that's it. They're gone.
The Romans are gone.
Oh, yeah.
The Strand is gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I pay them back gradually, like the pid of a like the pecking of a chicken. And therefore, lahen shoya, the end of the word, lahen shoya, therefore be, Rashi explains, is Moloshin saving, like Vayosha Hashem. So therefore, in Befido, through the pid, through the little by little, lahen shoya, they're able to be saved. Dover acho, another explanation of the pid shel tanagolos, afilu ein Yisrael oisin mitzvah lefana, even if when it comes to doing mitzvahs, even if the Jewish people only do mitzvahs, ki ma'at, only a little bit at a time, pid shel tanagolim, like the pecking of a chicken, shemanakuin ba'ashku, peck around in the garbage, little by little, ani mitzar from the cheshbon gadol, I combine it together into a big sum, all the mitzvahs assemble together and eventually accumulate into something big, shenemer, in befidu lahen shoya. Same thing that you have because of the pecking, therefore they're saved. Marsha explains. Show over here means
analysis,
like by Yosha Hashem.
Right.
Hashem saved.
No.
Where do you get that? No. Ava.
Shinvav
Aleph would be Shiva. That's a different thing. It's a Nakoda. Shav means nothingness, whatever. Yeah. But Shoya means, among other things, it means saving. Marsha points out the reason why only over here it mentions the garbage. Before it didn't mention about pecking in the garbage, because the point is, here we're talking about like a chicken trying to feed itself, so it pecks a little here, a little there. And even it may be pecking in the garbage, the food it's getting for itself, for its children, is not exactly very high-quality food, but it's still food. The same way, even a mitzvah may not be a very high-quality mitzvah, and it's only a tiny one, but nevertheless, it still accumulates, and Hashem still gives credit for it. Davracher, another explanation. Another explanation of the word shoya also has a meaning. It also is related to the word shavo, which means crying out. So in the schar, the Jewish people cry out and daven to me. Ani mashia oisam, I save them. So that's another meaning of lahen shoya. Because they daven, therefore Hashem reciprocates and saves them. V'hainu d'amar Abba, this that we're saying, this that we just said, that Hashem punishes the Jewish people a little bit at a time rather than one big thing at all at once that would wipe them out. So Rabbi Abba says a similar thing. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk says in Hosea, the Navi says in Hashem's name, v'anoichi efgeim, I am trying to save them. V'hema dibru, I'm trying to redeem them. V'hema dibru are like zavim, and they are speaking lies against me. Meaning, Ani Amarti, Hashem says, I figured, Efdeim b'mamodim b'olam hazeh, I will redeem them using their money in olam hazeh. When I punish them, it'll often be that they'll lose their money, that they'll have financial problems, whatever, in olam hazeh. Kadesh yizkul olam haba. This way, their schar is intact for olam haba. The Hema Dibra likes loving, but what happens? The people speak lies against Hashem and claim that that these things are happening because he doesn't care and because he's mean and whatever.
Zavim
means lies. V'hainu d'omer Rapapi mishmei d'Rava. Similarly, we also see that Rapapi
deceit.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Rapapi said in the name of Rava, my b'chtiv v'ani sauti. Hashem says, I also in Hosea, it's two psukim later. I gave them musar. I gave them yisurim. Chizakti z'ra'osam. I strengthened their arms. The elai yichashvura. But about me, they think bad. Meaning, same thing. I figured my plan was that I'll give them Yisurim in this world. This way their arms will be strong because they won't have to be punished in Olam Haba. They get their punishment in this world. And again, what happens is the people think bad about Hashem and think he's doing it because he's mean, etc.
He's really doing it in order to
give them good. The Meshech Chochma, by the way, actually gives an interesting spin in the positive about these Pesukim and about what the Gemara is saying over here. What happens? It's true. We're saying over here in our Gemara that Hashem prefers to punish the Jewish people in Olam Hazeh a bit here, a bit there, in order that they can be rewarded by Olam Haba. However, the Tzaddikim point out to Hashem, after all, very nice, but the fact of the matter is, the fact that the Jewish people are suffering in this world causes a tremendous chilul Hashem. When we say over here, Behema Dibra like Zavim, doesn't necessarily mean the Jewish people. It means the Goyim around there speak lies about Hashem. They claim that Hashem abandoned the Jewish people when we suffer, the Goyim think that it means that Hashem is powerless, etc. So therefore, the argument is that yes, Hashem has his plans, but after all, but the Tzaddikim argue to Hashem, but on the other hand, should you really be doing it that way? The fact is, it's creating that the Goyim are speaking lies and then whatever about what Hashem is able to accomplish and then the Jewish people, etc.
Okay. What is the answer?
So the answer is, we don't have an answer. It's part of Hashem's plan, and we complain to Hashem about it, and we daven that we should have Turvan Nirvan Nigla, not just that it should be good in Hashem's eyes, but it should be good that we actually see as good.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they should see it.
And they should also see it. So in this connection, Nishtabach lahu Rab Abahu l'mini, Rab Safra de Adam Gadol. Rab Abahu used to when he was talking to the minim in general means people who don't believe in one aspect or another of the Torah. Over here, very likely it means the early Christians, or there were a lot of them in Eretz Yisrael by Rab Abahu's time. There's actually a verse that's brought someplace, I can't remember now where, that says that min is actually an abbreviation for Mitalmide Yeshu Hanotzri. Yeah. Anyway, so Rab Abahu was speaking to the minim, and he praised to them, he praised Rab Safra to them, the Adam Gadol, who that he is a great person, a great Talmid Chacham, and therefore the result of that, Shavku le'michse d'tleis d'shnin. Therefore, they exempted him from tolls for the next 13 years. We have Rab Abahu, and they respected Rab Abahu, these minim. So if he says that Rab Safra is a great Talmid Chacham, is a great person, then fine, okay, they exempted him from tolls. They respected Rav Abahu because, as the Gemara is going to say later, Rav Abahu was, we learned in Sanhedrin, he was honored by the family, he was honored even in the royal palace. He knew his way very well around all the Goyish literature and whatever, and he was able to very often argue with them and prove the truth of Yiddishkeit and whatever, and prove on their terms. And yes, also, he had Hadras Ponim, also the Gemara mentions in these places. Physically, he was very handsome. So yeah. So they respect him.
Were there tolls?
They're tolls on bridges and roads and whatnot. Yeah, we said the other day that we said the Persians build bridges in order to get tolls.
Right.
Yeah. We're not talking an easy path. We're talking about Okay. Well, in this case, they gave Rav Safra an easy pass. They exempted him from tolls for the next 13 years. Yom Echad Ashkechu, but one day they actually met up with Rav Safra. Amrulay, and they said, listen, you're supposed to be a Talmid Chacham, so fine, we want to ask you the meaning of the following pasuk. Ksiv, you have a pasuk in Amos that says like this, Rak, it's an after of Vayeshev, Rak Eschem Yodaiti Mikol Mishpachos Adama, Hashem says, only you, Jewish people, I've loved, Yodaiti literally means I knew, but it also means I loved, from all the, among all the families, among all the nations in the world, Al Kain, therefore, Efgad Aleichem, Eskolam Aneseichem, therefore, I will visit on you. In other words, I'll pay you back for all your averus. So what does that mean? What's the logic? My mand is like if a person gets angry, berachme masikle, does he take it out against his friend? So if you're saying, well, how does the pasuk fit? Or Rashi says another explanation of Rashi's first explanation of sisya means anger. The second explanation Rashi says is that it's susya, a horse. If a person has a wild horse, would he have his friend ride on it so his friend ended up getting killed? Of course not. So what do you mean? Hashem says, I love you, and therefore I'm going to punish you for your averus. Ishtik, so
what does he say that?
Hashem says to the Jewish people through the Navi Amos. So, Ishtik, sort of Safra was quiet, he didn't answer them anything. then you've been cheating us out of the tolls all this year. Romolei sudra b'tzavrei, so they put a sudra around his neck, become a tzavrei, and they're causing him trouble, like as if they're gonna strangle him. One of the explanations among the various explanations why specifically that the sudur was the usual headgear of Talmid Chachamim. We find throughout Shas that the Talmid Chachamim wore a special kind of sudur turban or whatever it is. So like this, you're not much of a Talmid Chacham, then in that case you don't deserve to wear the sudur on your head. You might as well have it around your neck.
You know, the king allowed to accept him to.
Yeah, well, this is the minim are saying. Yeah. The minim apparently were in charge of the government at that point. So yeah. Also, Rav Abo, Ashkechinu. So Rav Abo comes by and he sees what's going on. Amalahu, he says, Amayim Tzaritule. What are you trying to hurt him for? Amrule, so the minim says, Halam Avalav Amet Londa Adam Gadolhu. Didn't you tell us he's a great Talmud Chacham? Vola Yadol Memelon Perushin Hayet Stuka. He couldn't even tell us the explanation of a pasuk. Amalahu, so Rav Abo answers them. Emer Da'amri Lachu B'Tinoi. Yes, when I told you that he's a great Talmud Chacham, I meant as far as Mishnayos and Braisos and Gemara. Did I necessarily mean that he's an expert in Sukkim? Not all of the Tanoim and Amiroim were necessarily such experts in Sukkim. You had specialists in it, and in a general way they knew the Sukkim, but to know how to darshan in the Sukkim, not necessarily. No, it was the fact. To know by heart, fine, but it's not like because Rav Safra knows the Pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that he knows the explanation of it. And just like you have nowadays, you have people who are experts in who can open up a block Gemara anywhere and they can do great pulpulum on it. But you quote them a pasuk from Tanakh and they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. Omrule. So the minim say to Rabbo, Maishna Atun Diaditun. So how come you know both Torah Shvapeh and Torah Shvachsav? Why should Rav Safra be any different? Amalahu, so Rav Abahu tells them, Anan the Shchichinun Gabecha, and because we, meaning I, who am commonly always around you, Raminun Anapshinum Einan, so we impose it on ourselves to look into the Psukim, because we know you're always going to be coming up with Psukim, as the Christians do, Adayim Azeh, where they bring the different Psukim, as the missionaries do. So therefore, we have to make it our responsibility to know these things. In Huloi Ma'ini, they, especially Rav Safra, was originally from Babel. He traveled back and forth there with Yisrael a lot, but basically he was a Babli. In Babel, they didn't really have very many of these minim or these Christians or whatever. So therefore, they don't bother because they don't figure they're going to have to deal with the minim very much. Okay, Amrulei. So they say to Rav Abo, Nu Leimalon At. So fine, you know Psukim, so you tell us what the meaning of the pasuk is. Amalahu, and he answers them, Em Shalachem Mar. Well, actually, before we get to the answer, actually, I saw somebody pointed out, in a way, the very fact that Rav Safra didn't say anything to them is the biggest answer itself. Because, if he was just an ordinary person on the street, and they asked him, and he didn't know the answer, they wouldn't bother with him. Okay, he's an Amaretz, what is he, like this, because he's a Talmud Chacham, therefore they expect him to know. So therefore, and you can understand, in the pasuk, because the Jewish people are Hashem's treasured nation, therefore Hashem expects more from us. Yeah. But so the very fact that he didn't say anything itself is kind of an answer. Somebody also says, Avort, actually, the reason why Rav Safra maybe didn't say anything, we learned at the end of Makkos that Rav Safra was Dover Emes Bilvava. He was always an absolute person of Emes. We have a story over there where he's selling cloth, and a person comes to buy cloth from him in the middle of Shemana Esther, and he doesn't want to interrupt. So the same thing, he didn't want to say an answer to them that he didn't feel was completely Emes. Okay. So Rav Avort says, well, not necessarily they're going to kill him. They were probably just going to harass him a little bit, but whatever, yeah. Amalahu, so he says, yeah, it doesn't mean that we're going to strangle him necessarily. It just means that we're going to, he'd come out with some bruises on his neck. I don't know, whatever. Amalahu, Rav Abahu tells him, Em Shalachem Mashal, I will give you a Mashal. Lama Adavadoma, what is it like? La'adam Shanoishim Mishnei B'nei Adam. Imagine you have a person who's owed money by two different people. Echad Oyhavoy, Ve'echad Soinu. One is his friend, one is his enemy. Oyhavoy, Nifram Menemat Mat. So the friend, he asked him to pay back a little bit here, a little bit there. That way it's not too much of a burden. So when it comes to his enemy, he demands the whole thing at once. So the same thing when it comes to the Jewish people, because Hashem loves the Jewish people, Rashi explains the word efkoid is mashma, that it implies that it's a little bit at a time, like regular visiting. Rashi says, like a person visits every so often. So the same way Hashem says, like I'll visit your averus on you, and every so often I'll collect some of the debt, but not all at once. As opposed to the goyim, Hashem waits until it fills up, and then that's it. They're gone. They're destroyed. More on this topic.
So he answered
the question. So that's it. So that's why. Because I love you more than all the other nations of the world. Therefore, Efkoi. Therefore, I will gradually get paid back for your Averis rather than all at once.
What did they answer?
So they didn't answer. They didn't answer. They had their answer. That's it.
That was the answer.
That was the answer. Okay. What does it mean, Avraham, when he's arguing for, on behalf of the people of Sodom? He says, Chalila to you, Hashem, that you should do such a thing, to kill the tzaddik together with the Rasha. What does it mean? Amar Avraham, it means exactly that. Avraham is saying to Hashem, Chulin hu me'asos kadavar hazeh. It would be a profane thing. It would be like, so to speak, it would make a chil Hashem. It would be like beneath your dignity, Hashem, to do such a thing. Muhammad Sadikim Rasha, to kill the Tzaddikim together with the Rishayim. Sigma says, when you mean the Loi? No, don't we find that sometimes Tzaddikim are punished together with the Rishayim? V'achdiv v'ichrati mimeich Tzaddik v'Rasha, but we find the Pasuk in Yechezkel, where Hashem says, I will cut off from you the Tzaddik and the Rasha. Okay. So we see the Tzaddikim are punished together. Yeah. The answer is the Tzaddik She'ini Gomer. That's talking about Tzaddik She'ini Gomer. So tzaddik gomer. So Avraham is arguing, if there were any tzaddikim gmurim in Sodom, then they deserve to be saved. They shouldn't be punished together with the Rishayim. If the tzaddikim shenim gmurim, yeah, it could happen. But But that's the thing. In other words, so therefore Avraham is arguing, if there were tzaddikim gmurim, he didn't know yet who's in Sodom and who isn't. If there were tzaddikim, how you talking? You're telling me you're going to destroy the whole Sodom. Shouldn't you check first whether that's a tzaddikim gmurim over there?
That's hard though in Pasha Pasha, because you could barely find regular tzaddikim, and now we're saying that he was actually for tzaddikim gmurim.
Okay, but nevertheless, at that point in the argument, Avraham doesn't know yet. Remember, he started by thinking there were 50 tzaddikim there, and eventually he comes down to 10 and he finds there weren't even 10. So okay, you know, he didn't exactly know what there was going on in Sodom, but he wanted to make sure that, you know, let all angles be covered.
That's why the numbers decreased, because he found out that...
Well, he tried 50, then there's still not. He tried 45, tried 40, et cetera. He's bargaining down. He's trying to bargain down. If there aren't 50, what if there's 45? What if there's 41?
He's trying to make rules with Avraham. It doesn't mean he's trying to know how many tzaddikim...
No, but he's saying, if Hashem says, if there are 50, then I'll save them. So Avraham says, but what if there aren't 50? What if there's only 45? What if there's only 40, et cetera? And eventually, once he got down to 10... And Hashem still didn't say, okay, there are in fact 10 tzaddikim in Sodom. There are in fact 10 tzaddikim in Sodom. So good, then I won't do it. Instead, Hashem says, okay, if there are 10, I won't destroy because of them. So Avraham understands at that point there aren't even 10. And as Rashi says over there, less than 10, he has no reason to ask for, because you see the marble happened when there were 8 tzaddikim, and 9 already would just mean you'd combine one together with Hashem. So therefore, so at that point he gave up.
What do we know? There was just 8 tzaddikim.
Because we have Noach and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives, so that's 8. So a tzaddik she'ein gomer, yes, could be destroyed together with the Rishonim. On the side of it here, it brings that the Rishonim add, in the same way when they say oyla rosh of oyla shcheino, the woe to the tzaddik, woe to his neighbor. The neighbor over here is also a tzaddik she'ein gomer. So the question is, of a tzaddik gomer law, you're telling me that a tzaddik gomer wouldn't be affected? But you have another pasuk in Yechezkel where Hashem, Yechezkel sees in a nevuah, he sees there are 6 malachim coming to destroy Yerushalayim, and Hashem tells the head malach over there, Umi mikdashi tochelu, you should begin from my mikdash. And what does that mean? V'toni Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught in a braisa, Al tikri mi mikdashai ela mi mikudashai. Don't read the word mi mikdashi from my base mikdash, but mi mikudashai from my holy ones. Meaning, Eilu b'nei Adam shekimu ha-Torah me'alef ba'am tof. This refers to people who had kept the whole Torah from Aleph to Tov. The reason we're mentioning Tov, by the way, is because the previous psukim there in Yechezkel describe how Hashem told the Malachim to go out throughout the city and mark everybody's foreheads with a tof. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses why exactly a tof. But whatever it is, it's a tof of blood if they're Rishoyim, who are destined to die, and a tof of ink if they're tzaddikim who are going to live.
Where was that?
In Yechezkel. We learned it in Shabbos many about 4 years ago or so. So the Gemara discusses over there a few different reasons, a half a dozen reasons why Dafka are tough, but one explanation over there is because it represents people who kept the whole Torah from Aleph to Tov. And conversely, it represents the Rishayim who broke the whole Torah from Aleph to Tov.
Everyone had the same letter?
Nah, so what it is, yeah, everybody had the same letter, but some in blood, some in ink. The verdict is, the Gemara says over there in Shabbos, what it is, so to speak, Hashem first tells the Malach to go and mark some of them with blood, some of them with ink, but then the Midas Adin comes and argues that Manishtanu Elam Elu, why should the Tzaddikim be different than the Rishayim? And as the Gemara is going to say here in our next line over here, then on the continuation of our line, that even the Tzaddikim were not Moiche, they didn't protest when the Rishayim are doing evil. Therefore, Hashem changes, and in fact, the Gemara says this is the only time we ever find that Hashem made a Gzeira L'Tova and then changed his mind, Kaviyachol. And he said, when we Roshi Tachelo, begin from thy holy ones. That's the question. So that's the answer. So the answer is, the Gemara is asking the question that on the face of it, these people who were marked with the tough and ink, L'Chora, are Tzaddik and Gemara. So how do they get punished? The answer is, Hasanami. They are also Kibin Chalya, B'yadam Limcha, T'volay Michu, since they could have protested against the Rishoyim, and they did not, have a look at Tzaddik and Shein and Gemara. Then that amounts to that they're Tzaddik and Shein and Gemara, and then they can be caught up. We know, I mean, this fits very well according to what the Alter Rebbe talks about in Tanya, about the definition of a Tzaddik Gomer and Tzaddik Sheini Gomer. That a Tzaddik Sheini Gomer is somebody who doesn't have an utter hatred for Sitra Achra, like a person is supposed to. So therefore, in that sense, he sees other people doing bad, he doesn't protest about it because it doesn't bother him as much. So in that sense, he himself may be 100% Tzaddik, he has no Yetzer Hara, fine, but he doesn't protest because he doesn't have that ultimate hatred to the Sitra Achra that a Yid, that a Tzaddik should have. Whereas a Tzaddik Gomer, who does, he would taka be spared. Rapapa Rami, further talking about Hashem's punishment and Hashem's anger, Rapapa pointed out a contradiction. Tiv, you have a pasuk in Tilim that says, Kael Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, says Hashem is angry every day. Now, if Hashem is angry every day, Uchtiv L'fnei Zami Miyamer, you have another pasuk that says, who can stand before Hashem's anger? So if Hashem is angry every day, how is it that there's still a world? How is it people still exist? It means Lakasha can be Yochid, can be Tzibur. One is talking about a Yochid. If a Yochid was exposed, an individual person was exposed to the full force of Hashem's anger, then that's it. They'd be a goner. As opposed to the Tzibur, even though Hashem is angry every day, nevertheless the Tzibur has its course, and therefore they continue to exist.
That's how we daven in the Tzibur?
Well, yeah, that's why we daven in a Tzibur. Yeah, well, that's not so much over the anger of Hashem. That's more because of an individual person's tefillah. Hashem will have to look. Well, does he really deserve to have his tefillah answered? As opposed to a minion, hey, tell kaber lo yimas, Hashem doesn't reject the tefillah of a tzibur. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. Kael zoyim b'chol yoyim. So we're saying in Tilim that Hashem is angry every day. V'kama zamo. So how long does his anger last? Rega. A moment. V'kama rega. So how much is this moment? Achas mechomish riboy u'shloshes alofim u'shmoyna meyes v'aboyim u'shmoyna b'shah. 153,848th part of an hour. There's many, many different girsos here. My Rav Ransburg over here brings one different girsa that's in the Gemara in Brachas, where this Gemara is also there in Brachas, where it says 158,888. There's a number of different girsos that Rishonim have and different Kisra Yad have and whatever. It's a tiny amount of time.
When Bill was trying to...
We're going to talk about that on Amud Beis. That's when Bilam tried, exactly, yeah. There's actually a girsa that Tosfos brings someplace else that they say the girsa should actually be 13,824, because they explain an hour can be divided into 24 sections. Aside from you have 60 minutes in an hour, different ways you can divide an hour into 24 parts. The same way as there are 24 hours in a day, so you divide each hour into 24, each of those 24 into 24, each one of those again into 24. 24 times 24 times 24 equals 13,824. So it's another cheshbon. Okay. Anyway. So it's a tiny moment. Zuhi rega. That is a rega. The ein kobriya yecholo l'chaven osa rega. No human being is able to know the exact time of that rega, of that moment. Chutz mi bilam arasha, like you just said, except for bilam arasha. Dichtivei, where about him the pasuk says v'yedea das elyon, that he knows the das of the highest one, of Hashem. Yeah, that's what do you mean? He knows the das of Hashem. Which Tosfos explains, the point is, the word v'yedea das elyon implies it's not just something that he receives with nevuah, it's something that he himself knows on his own. So the question is, how do you know that's the question. Efshar das behemtalei have a yoda. We see that Bilam didn't even understand patience. We see that Bilam didn't even know what his donkey is going to answer him. As the Gemara is going to quote now, the whole conversation, which we also had in Sanhedrin, between him and his donkey. And so he didn't even know what his donkey is going to answer. Das elyon mi have a yoda. How does Bilam claim to know the mind of Hashem? So before we get to the answer, what it means, which the answer, of course, is going to be that he knows the Tzerega of Hashem's anger, before that, the Gemara is going to interject over here, my das behem to lo yhav yada. What do you mean to say when you say that he didn't understand the mind of his animal? Like this. the idna to have the chazale to have a rochev acham, right? So like this, when he's going with the princes of Moab over there to go curse the Jewish people, so they see he's riding on his donkey, amrule. So they tell him, my time alo rochav da asusya. Why aren't you riding on a horse? You're a chosh of a person. You should be riding on a horse. This way, you'll be faster. You'll be able to keep up with us who are on horses, etc. Amalahu. So he says to them, "Biratiba shadoile. I have a horse, but I left it in the meadow to graze."
Doesn't answer the question.
No, in other words, he's embarrassed to say that I don't have a horse, so he claims that he left it in the meadow grazing. Miyad, but right away, no, but Toma Ha'asen, the donkey speaks up, no, Aloyach Anoichi Asoicha. Here, behold, I am your donkey, so you don't usually have a horse. Amrullah, so the answer is, okay, Latin Balma, sure, okay, I own you as a donkey, but I use you for packages, I don't usually use you to ride on. No, Amrullah, I should have to lie. The donkey says, no, you always ride on me. Amrullah, cry Balma, he says, okay, maybe once in a while I ride on you. No, from the beginning until this. So every time he doesn't even know what his animal is going to answer. Exactly. From when you lived until this day, you've always been riding on me. And not only that, but you ride on me by day, and you do a different kind of riding on me by night. We know that because the same pasuk continues with the. So you have the pasuk over here. The next words in the pasuk are. So the simple meaning of a haskein hiskanti, Rashi explains, have I ever usually done this kind of thing that I don't go and then I'm moving to the side or whatever? But the Gemara Darshan is that we find by David when he had Abishag Ashunamis to warm him up in bed that she's described as a sechenes. So we see that. So a bed partner can be described as sechenes. So when she says ha haskein hiskanti implies that there's mice issues over there.
So she was not only a
sechenes. So not right. So the point is, that Bilam didn't even know what his donkey is going to answer. What makes us think that he knows the mind of Hashem? Elamai v'yadeh das oyen. What does he mean when he claims that he knows the mind of Hashem? He knows to be able to, the exact moment that Hashem gets angry.
How does he know?
Okay, he knew. He had the talent to know it. Maybe through Kishuf, I don't know, but whatever. Not through Nevuah, at any rate, is the point Tosfos was saying. I saw, by the way, I once saw a Vorach, I don't remember the source of it. When Bilam says, I left my horse in the meadow to graze, they say a Vorach on this. By Makas Borod, we know the Torah tells us that anybody that Moshe warns, that everybody take their animals inside. So Hayoreh Tzvan Hashem, anybody who feared the word of Hashem, took their animals inside. Anybody who didn't left their animals outside. Bilam is in the last category. So therefore, when he says over here, I left my animal in the meadow, according to this explanation, he doesn't mean now I have a horse now. What he means is years ago, during Makas Borod, I had a horse, but I left it outside to graze, so it got killed by the Borod, and I never was able to buy a horse since then. Yeah, he was one of Pared's advisors. We know he's a famous statement. He's three advisors over there of Pared, Bilam, Eov, and Yisra, yeah.
How can such a disgusting man have walked on Kodesh to know exactly when?
So the Gemara discusses elsewhere that Hashem wanted to give the Goyim a Navi, even in a certain way, in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, in order that they shouldn't have an excuse. Look, you know, the Jewish people listened to you and kept your mitzvahs and whatever because you gave them Nevi'im. If you had given us Nevi'im, we would have been just as good. So Hashem instead gave them Balak, and he turned out to be a lowlife. Not Balak, really, I mean. And he ended up to be a lowlife like this, yeah.
Okay.
Adonai, he made them be Mezane even more than before, yeah.
Did.
Yeah, because because for example, we find that after the Mabul, it mentioned in different places that after the Mabul, the Goyim in general tended to be more careful about Arayas until Bilam comes along and gives them the advice: take your daughters and then send them to be Mizana with the Jewish people by Benoit Smoyo over there by Shimon. Yeah. Well, afterwards, the Nevuah was taken away, but yeah.
When was it taken away?
Afterwards, after this whole story with trying to curse the Jewish people, and he blessed them three times. Yeah. Okay. Behinu da'akam alohu Navi. So this explains what the Navi, Micha, many years later, says to the Jewish people. Ami, he says this in Asura Parshas Balak, appropriately enough. He says, Ami, my people, Zechorna Mayot Balak Malach Moav. Remember, please, what Balak, the king of Moav, came up with the idea. Or Ma'ona Oseh Bilam Ben Ba'or, and what Bilam Ben Ba'or answered him. Mina Shittim Ba'ada Gilgal, and how I brought you from Shittim to Gilgal, across the Yarden. Laman Das Tidkos Hashem, in order that you should know the Tzedakah of Hashem. Amr Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, Amr Lahan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, means Hashem says to the Jewish people, Ami, my people, Ru'u kama tzedakah, so sisi imachem, look how much tzedakah I did with you, shalai ka'asti aleichem kol oisen ayamim, that I didn't get angry at you all those days when Bilam was trying to curse you. Every day we said before Hashem gets angry, and Bilam knew that exact moment, right?
Right.
So if he was able to take advantage of that moment, his curses would have been effective. But like this, Hashem says, I withheld my anger all those days. I didn't do my usual day, my usual rega of anger every day on those days, because if I had, because if I had had the usual anger, there wouldn't have been left from the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning obviously a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, and any remnant.
Again,
so that's so remember, Hashem says, the tzedakah that I did, that I withheld my anger those days.
It looks like even after Hashem took away his nevuah, because Taisus says that this was mashma me'atzma, he would have still been able to do that after this whole episode.
I guess so. Yeah, afterwards, after that's the thing. Maybe that's and that's the thing. So during these days, Hashem withheld his anger, but after that, Bilam gave up and went home, and that's it. And then he didn't try again. So therefore, Hashem can go back to the usual schedule of having a rega of anger every day. Yeah. Behinu de Kamal Bilam the Balak, and thus we find Bilam himself says the Balak, Ma Echav like Kabri Kale, how can I curse the one that Hashem hasn't cursed? Or Ma Ez Oim Lazam Hashem, how can I be angry at the one Hashem is not angry at? In other words, he's realizing these days when I'm trying to curse, nothing's going on. The usual moment of anger is not going on, so I have no power. Okay. So the Kamazamai, so how long does Hashem's anger ask? We said Rega. The Kama Rega, so how much is a Rega? So Maharsha explains, we already defined it in terms of a fraction or an hour before. Now we're trying to define it in terms of what could you say during a Rega? What could you say during that a thousandth of a second or whatever it is? It's almost a repeat of a lot of...
Why? Because we asked a bit of a question, what can we do? Not how long it is.
Right, but that's what it means. The Kama Rega, how much is a Rega, in other words, in terms of what you could accomplish. Yes, we had this Gemara almost verbatim in Sanhedrin, yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
What you mean.
Yeah. No.
We had
Okay, the Kama Rega. So how much is a Rega? Omer Amema, V'Tema Ravina, so Amema, or some say Ravina said, Rega Kamemre. A Rega is the amount of time it takes to say the word Rega. So now, Tosfos was asked.
18,000,
whatever, 58,000, 53,000 of an hour, we said, of an hour. So it would come out to about a tenth of a second or so. You could quickly say, Rega. Okay. So Tosfos asks, well, what kind of curse is Bilam going to be able to accomplish in a tenth of a second or whatever? So Tosfos gives two answers. One is that he could have said the word Kalim, which means destroy them. Fine, if you can say Rega in that time, you can also say Kalim. Two syllables, same thing.
But it's
facing the Jewish people, so obviously it would mean that. What Hashem did, we know Hashem turned Bilam's clawless into brachas. What did Hashem do? Hashem took the letters of Kalim and flipped them around to create the word Melech. That's why in one of Bilam's brachas you have was Surat Melech Bud. That was what was left from the Kalim that he tried to say. That's one explanation. Yeah. Tosfos gives the other explanation is that all he would have had to do is start his clawless during that Rega. Then he could keep on going on for as long as he wants, and it would still be effective. But that, since Hashem wasn't angry, then therefore it didn't. Yeah. Okay. Umenolon de Rega Habarish. So he said Melech instead, yeah. Umenolon de Rega Habarish. Okay, so how do we know that Hashem's anger is a Rega? Because it says, Ki Rega Ba'apoy, for a Rega is Hashem's anger. Chayim Birtsoine, and life is when Hashem wants it to be. So yeah, we said in Tehillim every day, yeah. Or you can bring it also from another pasuk. Hide for just a little rega until the anger passes. So now we have to ask, when during the day does that take place, this anger? It's during the first three hours of the day. So some of Foshim explain that it means at the end of, Tosfos actually says over here, it means during the third hour of the day, for reasons that the Gemara is going to talk about soon. Some other Foshim say it means sometime during the first three hours. We don't know exactly when, but we know it's sometime during those first 3 hours of the day. And it's the moment when the comb on top of a rooster's head turns white. Question is called Shaita v'Shaita mechivra. At different times during the day, you see it's white. It's not necessarily red all the time.
There's a little piece on top,
yeah. Sometimes. The answer is called Shaita ispe suraiki sunki. Yes, but even during other times of day, when it turns white, there are still red streaks in it. You still see the red blood vessels in it. Hahi Shaita lespe suraiki sunki. That one moment of Hashem's anger, it turns completely white.
The chicken is a simmer?
Yeah.
Wow.
And one idea is because a chicken is a geber, that's why we use it for kapara. So therefore, we see it down here on earth using that. Also, the Gemara is going to say in a few lines that this is a time when the kings, when the Goyish kings, put on their crowns and worship the sun. So therefore, it comes down lamata over here in the crown of a creature, namely the crest on top of a chicken's head, which is like its crown. Okay, so now the Gemara tells a story in this connection. Rabbi Yishro ben Levi have a mitzayr le'ahu mina v'kroi. Rabbi Yishro ben Levi used to be constantly pestered by a certain min with psukim, because like we said on Amud Aleph, the minim are always coming up with psukim to try and then challenge us. Yom echad nokat tarnagola. So one day, Rabbi Yishro ben Levi is fed up with it. He takes a chicken, he takes a rooster, va'otme ben kara da'arse, he put it between the legs of his bed, va'ayinva, and he's staring at it, and he's going to catch the exact moment when the comb turns white. He figures, kimota he shaita, when that moment comes, alakye, I will curse him. Kimota he shaita nimne, in the event, when it came that moment, that the thing turned white, he fell asleep. Omar and Rabbi Shurban Levi realized, shmamina, we can see from this, lav orach ara lamabed hachi, it's not the right thing to do that, to try and curse him, because v'racham avokamaisev, see, because after all the pasuk says, Hashem is rachamim, on all his creatures, even this guy, even this me. Now, Tosfos points out the question the question is, I mean, don't we have, you're supposed to punish Rishoyim? So Tosfos starts by making a distinction. First of all, this guy may have been a goy. Our Gemara says over here it was a min, but a different girsa is that it was an Ovid Kechavim, a goy. Well, in that case, a min could be a Jew. Ovid Kechavim usually means a goy. Nochri or whatever. So later on in the next parak, we're going to talk about the dinim. We're going to talk about the dinim of saving people's lives, minim versus goyim versus Jews who are over avera or whatever. And you have the rule over there that goyim loy meridin v'loy mailin v'loy meridin. You're not obligated to save their lives except when there's a matter of eva, which we'll talk about then, Bez Hashem, in a couple of weeks. But you don't throw them in either. So over here, you're trying to be mazikim with his kala. That's meridin. You can't do that to a goy. So that's one. Also, the vote is Tosfos says it's one thing to punish him, but as Beis Din should do or whatever. It's another thing, so to speak, to force Hashem's hand to curse him that Hashem should punish. Like so to speak, to force Hashem to punish him that not. Okay. And you have another pasuk that says Gam Onish La Tzadik Lo Tov. Another pasuk that says that also even for it's not good for a tzadik to be punishing people. So therefore, Rabbi Yishro ben Levi realized the fact that Hashem made me fall asleep at that time is min hashemayim, right. And therefore I should give it.
To a goy.
So again, Tosfos' first explanation is specifically it's talking about a goy. In other words, according to Tosfos, the first explanation, if this was a yid who was a min, then Rabbi Yishro ben Levi would have been justified in trying to curse him. The other explanation is even if it's a yid, there's a difference between punishing him by human agency versus forcing Hashem to do it. We learn in a braisa in the name of Rav Meir. Why is Hashem angry every day? When the kings put on their crowns on their heads, and they bow down to the sun, which Mephoshim explained, the vote is, it's like they're saying, like our kingship comes from the sun. Because they don't recognize even that it comes from Hashem. Miyad koyet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right then, Hashem gets angry. So that's the thing. So if we say in brachos that kings usually wake up 3 hours in the day. That's why that's the end of Zman Kriyishma. So if we say that we're talking, so in that case, that would mean that this must be during that third hour, during that time when these kings are waking up and doing this. The other explanation is that there's a girsa over there in brachos that it's not when melachim get up, it's when bnei melachim get up. Princes sleep until 3 hours. The kings may get up earlier, and therefore our Gemara might mean again sometime during the first 3 hours of the day.
The name Malachim means
princes, as opposed to Malachim themselves might get up early. Yeah, basically. Okay. Omer of Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, here's a halacha that comes out of this that we're saying that there's anger of Hashem during the morning. A person should not daven musaf during the first 3 hours of the day. B'yoma kama derei shata on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. B'yachid he shouldn't daven musaf when he's b'yichidus, as opposed to a tzibur, as the Gemara was going to say, they have more zchusim. Why? Duma kibin de makid dina, because since this is a time of din, we said before that the first 3 hours Hashem learns the Torah and the second 3 hours he judges. So the Gemara is going to bring that back over here and ask. But at any rate, this is Rabbi Yosef is saying, during that time, Hashem is judging. Duma ma'ayne be'ugde, if he's davening be'yichidus, Hashem may check into his ma'isim, into what he does, v'dachpole midchin, and they'll push away his tefillah and reject it. So therefore, a person should not daven Musaf during that time.
During the first
3 hours of the day on Rosh Hashanah. So here it actually says v'yom akama the day shata. It says on the first day, implying like it would be okay on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Most of the mafarshim say that actually it would apply on both days as well. We're mentioning the first day because in those days they didn't always have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So the question is yochad the tzibur nami. Well, then shouldn't it be the case with the tzibur also? Why should they be able to daven Musaf during that time? The answer is the tzibur nefishas schos. The tzibur has greater schos, like we said before. Okay, what about yochad the safra nami loy? In that case, shouldn't the same thing apply to the yochad davening shacharis? Why would it only apply to mincha? Why would it only apply to Musaf? Mefarshim explain over here, particularly what we're talking about over here is in Musaf, we know you have some Rashi mentions over here actually. In Musaf, you have Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris.
Right.
So therefore, so those are the kind when Hashem is like judging extra. So in that case, the obvious
question,
that's the question in that case. So the Magen Avraham, for example, asks in that case, why is the Gemara asking that a Yochid shouldn't be able to daven Shacharis? You're allowed to use Shacharis, there's no Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris. So the Magen Avraham answers, we're not necessarily talking about Shacharis on Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about Shacharis during the rest of the year. Why aren't we concerned a person, fine, you don't have Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris, but you have the 13 middle brachas where we're asking for all our needs. Why aren't we concerned that if you're davening be a chiddush during the first 3 hours and Hashem may judge you more harshly?
And well, that's a great question.
Well, that is a question, so we're going to give the answer. We're going to give the answer in a second. But you have other explanations also, including there's an interesting one. There are Rishonim who held that the halacha should be that on Rosh Hashanah, you should say Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris in all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah.
So what
Rashi maybe, or the fact is the halacha is not decided like that, but Rashi may be going according to that shitta. Rashi may be understanding according to that shitta. Okay. Anyway. So they would say that even in Shacharis of Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be davening Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofaris. Yeah. So anyway, so the question is, why is a Yochid able to daven Shacharis, be a Chiddush, during the first 3 hours? The answer is, given to Ikat Tzibur, to Kamaslu, because you have a Tzibur that is davening at the same time, inevitably during the first 3 hours of the day, you have Binyanim that are going on, therefore, Lo Kamadchi, so therefore even he's davening be a Chiddush for whatever reason, but nevertheless his Tefillah is not going to be rejected just on those grounds. Because you have other Binyanim that are going on at that time. As opposed to that this you're going to be davening Musaf, while other people are davening Shacharis, that can't be considered in any way to fill up a tzibur. So therefore you shouldn't do it.
Is that to be in the same place or in another
place? In the same place, Pashtos, yeah. I mean, the same way as we say, for example, that, you know, Shabbos comes in and goes out at different places. No, we're talking within the same time zone, within the same area. Okay. So the question is, didn't we say before that during the first 3 hours of the day, Hashem is sitting and learning Torah? So he's not judging, so what are you talking about? The answer is April. Flip it around. Say that the first 3 hours Hashem judges, and the next 3 hours Hashem learns Torah.
So now we have to flip it around.
No, not the Mishnah. It wasn't a Mishnah. It was a statement in the Gemara before. So fine. So backwards. Or another possibility is maybe you don't have to flip it around. Because Torah dichtiv va'emes, because the Torah is described as emes dichtiv, as the pasuk says, emes knei va'al timker, buy the truth and don't sell it, meaning be willing to spend money to have expenses to learn Torah, but don't sell it in the sense of don't charge other people for teaching Torah, as we learned as the Gemara says in Nedarim that you're not allowed to teach for you're not allowed to charge for teaching Torah. So therefore, MS can be described. So therefore, the Torah is described as MS. Therefore, during the time when Hashem is studying Torah, then Hashem is not going to act l'fnim b'shuras hadin because then he's in the MS mode, and MS is that's it. There's no. You don't get any breaks. Din, deloiksi be'emes, whereas when it comes to din, din is not described as emes, mishpatei Hashem emes, Rashi explains, is referring to the mishpatim in the Torah, so Hashem's own din doesn't necessarily have to be emes, therefore, Hashem is able to go l'fnei mishuras hadin and give a person a break, even if he's not fully deserving.
So during the time
when Hashem is studying Torah, is not the appropriate time to be davening Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Shacharis, we said, because then the Midas Emes is and Midas is prevailing, and Yochid is not necessarily going to be judged favorably according to Midas Emes.
Whereas
when it comes to when during the time of Din, during the next 3 hours of the day, then there can be Lefnei Meshurat HaDin. And Shacharis, we said, is not an issue because inevitably you have other people davening Shacharis. You have other.
No,
so that's what we're saying. Only on Rosh Hashanah do you have this concept that you shouldn't daven Musaf, which includes Malchus, Achronos, and Shofaris, on Rosh Hashanah during these first 3 hours of the day. Yeah.
But it's still a question because we say that the Midas Emes and Midas HaDin they apply throughout the year at the same time.
Obviously, Midas Emes and Midas HaDin apply all the time, but we're saying primarily. No, we're saying primarily. We're saying primarily Emes is more associated with Torah than it is with Din. Din, there can be Lefnei Meshurat HaDin.
Right.
Torah, there's no Lefnei Meshurat HaDin in Torah. It's either the Halacha is this way or the Halacha is that way, period. That's what we're saying. When Hashem is learning Torah, then there's no room for any wiggle. There's no wiggle room.
That should apply to
so that's the first 3 hours of the day. That's what we're saying. So therefore, it doesn't apply as much to Shacharis, because again, you have other people davening Shacharis in Minyanim at the same time, therefore it's acceptable. You only when it comes to Musaf, where you're saying Malchus, Achronos, and Shofaris, there you have, and not necessarily nobody, but there you have that there's going to be more of a din on him, the fact that he's mentioning, that he's asking, that Hashem to remember him favorably, that there may be more of a judgment on him. As opposed to you daven with Zibur, then... No, because on Shabbos you don't say Malchus, Achronos, and Shofaris. We're talking about Rosh Hashanah.
Strictly speaking,
we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, right?
Did you say that Rosh Hashanah was sometimes one day? No, that's not for the discussion now.
In the old days, Rosh Hashanah could sometimes only be one day. If Adim came on the first day, then that's it, yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys have the head to continue a little further? Technically, today was supposed to be Dapay, so... If everybody's still good, then we'll go a little bit further. We're not going
to
finish all of that pay, that's for sure not. But we can go a little further, I guess, if people are willing. Okay. A simon for the next few things. Yoy meid torach be'egel simon. A simon for the next few teachings that the Gemara is going to teach us, that Rabbi Shurban Levi said. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, earlier in the discussion, Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, my dichtiv, Asher, we said in the connection with Hashem's judgment of the nation, that Asher Anoichim et Tzavcha Hayoim La'asoysam, Hashem says, I give you these mitzvahs today to do them, implying Hayoim La'asoysam below the Mocha La'asoysam, today in this world is the time to do them, not tomorrow in the next world, and Hayoim La'asoysam below Hayoim Lutzal Sechoron, and today is the day to do them, but today in Olam Hazeh is not the place to get the sky for them. The primary sky for them is in Olam Hazeh. I'm Rabbi Shurban Levi. So now Rabbi Shurban Levi says another thing. Kol mitzvah she Yisrael oisim ba'olam hazeh. All the mitzvahs that the Jewish people do in this world, boisim me'ides oisim la'olam haba, will come and give edus on their behalf in olam haba. Shenem, as the pasuk says, the pasuk that we brought at the beginning of the Masechta, yitnu edayim v'yitzdaku, they will give forward their edim and they will be justified. Yishmu v'yomru emes, they will hear and say it's true. So before we said, one of the explanations we said before is Yitnu Edayim V'Yitzdaku means that the Goyim will bring forth their Edim, like Nebuchadnezzar and Nimrod and the rest of them, to testify what the Jewish people accomplished. But here we're understanding it, Yitnu Edayim V'Yitzdaku Elu Yisrael, the Jewish people will bring forth their Edim and they will be vindicated, they'll be justified. Yishmu V'Yomer Emes Elu Evri Kachavim, and when it says they will hear and say Emes, that refers to the Goyim who will hear what's going on and they'll have to admit that what they heard is true. All the mitzvahs that the Jewish people do in this world, in the future, they will come and bang the goyim in their faces, like slapping them in the face. Tofus alpneim means like slap them in the face. And one idea is, we talked at the beginning of the Masechta that when you do a mitzvah, then it creates a malach. So therefore, these malachim will come and give them. Yeah. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Shmartem b'asisim." It says you should guard the Torah and do it. Kihi chochmaschem uvinaschem la'enei hamim. It says this will be your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations. So negana hamim la'enema. It doesn't say in front of the nations, like they'll observe it. Ela la'enei hamim, but in their eyes. In other words, like it'll come and then slap them in the face. Like it'll be something like against their eyes, like. So therefore it'll slap them in the face, showing them like you guys didn't involve yourselves with these, but you should have. Adrabah, you harassed the Jewish people and prevented them from doing it, etc. But Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, but also Yisrael, also Egel, Elo Litzin Pischen Pele Bali Tshuva. The only reason why the Jewish people made the Egel was in order to give an opening for Bali Tshuva. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that Jewish people at that time, when they made the Egel, they were strong, they were able to control their Yetzirah. It shouldn't have by rights been that they were going to all of a sudden fall and make an Egel. It was, Rashi says, Gzeirah Melech, it was a Gzeirah from Hashem, that the Yetzirah should have this tremendous extra power over them. And the reason was that this way, later on in history, if a person says, I did such terrible Averis, I'm never going to be accepted in Tshuva, we'll tell them, look at the Egel, the Jewish people's Tshuva was accepted. So yours can also be accepted.
I'm meaning to the Bali Tshuva.
It's for the future, for the Bali Tshuva, yeah. Shanema,
was you saying they did the Egel just that in the future,
yes.
Bali Tshuva would be answered?
Yes, one second. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, me yitin, as the Pasuk says after Matan Torah, Hashem says, if only it were, v'hoyo l'vavam zeh lahem l'yiro oisi kol hayom, if only they would still have this heart that they have now, that should be with them all the time, to always fear me. In other words, after Matan Torah, during this period, after Matan Torah, the Jewish people were on that level, that they're tremendously strong in their heart, and able to fear Hashem and conquer the Yetzirah. So therefore, by rights, it should have continued. Now, one of the explanations on this is that obviously they still had Bechira Chofshit. What it means is that in this case, somewhat similar as what we say about Paro with the Makas, where any normal person after he sees these kind of Makas devastating his country, he's going to let the Jewish people go free. But Hashem, by Chazak, Hashem has laid Paro. He made him stubborn to be able to say, you know what? Even after all those disasters, I'm still not sending them until Makas Bechira. Here, it's kind of the other way around. By rights, the Jewish people should have been able to withstand the Yetzirah. But Hashem made the Yetzirah be extra strong and took away the usual protection that a person has, usually we say, as it turns out, whatever talks about in Tanya, that usually even a Beinoni, Hashem helps, that his Yetzirah won't get the upper hand. Here Hashem took that away. They're on their own in order that there should be this piss compared for Bali Tshuva. Reuben Margolius, which is an interesting idea also. How do we know that? How do we know that it wasn't something they would have done on their own? Because we know the famous thing that the Yetzirah, Kachi Umanusa Shel Yetzirah, the famous expression that the Yetzirah's usual way of doing things is he starts a person with a smaller Avera and then eventually brings them to bigger and bigger Averas. How do you have all of a sudden that they go and do the big Avera? Must be that it was Min HaShemayim. Must be that it was orchestrated Min HaShemayim.
He says it?
Reuben Margolius brings this in one of his Sfarim.
How is it pisken pev if it was only min Hashem? Like obviously Hashem's going to accept their tshuva because it wasn't their fault to begin with. How is it a pisken pev for regular?
Understood. Shemayim? But still, the fact of the matter is they had their bechira chopshes. That's what we're saying. That Hashem took away the usual protections. So fine. A choite in the future is going to say, okay, you know, it also fits well with what the Alter Rebbe is talking about in Tanya these days, Shurim of Tanya, that a Rosha, part of what happens to him is that he loses the ability to be able to conquer with Yetzirah and finds it much harder to be able to overcome it. So it's a similar kind of thing where Hashem takes away that ability, but he still can say to himself that I can still power through and do it, just like the Yidden would have been able to power through over here, but in the end they didn't. And then Hashem accepted their tshuva. So the same way I also can power through and Hashem will accept it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thus we also find that Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Shimon ben Yochai, Loi David roi lo isa maise, v'lo Yisrael roi lo isa maise. David was not, wouldn't have been appropriate, he wasn't worthy of doing this thing of Bathsheba. In other words, again, it's not something that he naturally would have been susceptible to. He asked Hashem for the Nisayan, yes, it says in Sanhedrin, yes, fine. But V'lo Yisrael Ru'im Lo Yisamaita, and the Jewish people also were not something that naturally they would have been susceptible to. Fine, nevertheless, Lo David Roi Lo Yisamaita Dichtiv V'libi Chalo V'kibi. As David says, my heart is hollow within me, meaning my Yetzirah is gone, is dead or whatever. It has, yeah, apparently. My Yetzirah is gone, it has no more power to rule over me. And yet the thing with Bathsheba happened. So yes, you're mentioning that there was the Gemara in Sanhedrin that said that David asked for the Nisoyan. But we actually learned there in Sanhedrin that David said, I could have passed the Nisoyan, but people would have said that he beat Hashem. Hashem said, you're not going to pass it, and I ended up passing it. So that fits with our Gemara over here. That by any logic, there's no way that David should have been susceptible to such an Avera.
Wait a minute. If David said he could pass the Nisoyan, And the Eibishter just said he wasn't possible any sign. How could he have passed it?
That's the point. David is saying over there, I would have been able to power through and been able to pass it, but I realized that that itself would make people say that in that case, then, you know, Hashem said you can't pass it. Then how do you have the breakite to go and pass it? And therefore, that fits with our Gemara over here, that Hashem orchestrated the whole thing because David himself wouldn't have been under normal circumstances, wouldn't have been susceptible to it. And again, by the way, here, Rabbi Reuven Margolius points out the same kind of thing. You have, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that usually once a person has lived more than half their life, they're usually not susceptible to a new kind of Aveira. Here, David was already in his late 50s. He had only less than a dozen years to, he had 15 years or so left of his life. So under normal circumstances, he wouldn't have been susceptible to such an Aveira. The fact that he was in order, again, for a Pesachim Peh, in order to give encouragement to Baalei Teshuva of the future. So V'lo Yisrael Ru'in Lo Yisemaisa, the Jewish people shouldn't have been susceptible to this.
That if he had not the Eibishter, the Eibishter would never...
We wouldn't have given him the Nesayin in the first place, right? So V'lo Yisrael Ru'in Lo Yisemaisa, the Jewish people were not susceptible to this kind of Maisa. Dechtiv, as we just said, Mi Yitin V'hoyel V'alam Zelahal Niyuro Yisikol HaYomim, that Hashem Tet himself says after Matan Torah that they have this heart to be able to fear me for the rest of their life. Ela lama osu. So why did the Jewish people do what they did, and why did David do what they did? Loy malach to teach you shem chata yachid, that from now on, if a yachid does an avera, oimim like kloch etzel yachid, then we tell him go look at what the yachid did, that David did an avera and yet he did tshuva and it was accepted. Vim chatu tzibur, and if the tzibur does an avera, oimim loy or lahem, whatever, kloch etzel tzibur, then go to the tzibur, look what they did and how they were and how still they were forgiven. And the Gemara says, "Utzricha." So why do we need a yachid and a tzibur? Why do we need both of them to happen? And why? And particularly, the Tosfos says, "Why does it need? Why do both of the avedas need to be recorded? No, why does it need to be recorded? First of all, what they did, and second of all, that they were accepted." Because the Yashmin and Yachid, if we were only told the story of David, you would say, okay, Mishum Dolamit Farsim Chatoi, fine, a Yachid does something, it doesn't become so well known. Okay, it was known in his times, it was known whenever, but it wouldn't have been known outside that circle. Aval Tzibur de Mepharsim Chatoi, but a Tzibur where everybody knows of what they did, Eim Alo, you would think maybe Hashem is not willing to accept their Tshuva, because it caused a tremendous Chilul Hashem. The Yashmin and Sibur, but on the other hand, if we only have the story of the eagle, you would say Mishum the Nefishi Rachamayu. On the other hand, Hashem has more Rachamim on the Sibur. Numbers Chosayu, actually, the Sibur of the Baal Goy Tabach changes, they have more Schosim. Our Yachid, the Lam Limus Schosim, but a Yachid who doesn't have such a strong Schos, Eimalo, you would think maybe not. Tzricha, and therefore we needed both then. And the Gemara continues. You can't take a kavachayim from one to the other because each one has its own special things. One has more Schosim, but the other one created less of a Chilul Hashem, created more of a Chilul Hashem. And v'hainu de'abdu Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni om Reb Yonasan. This also fits with what Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni said in the name of Reb Yonasan. My dechtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk says, David says this near the end of his life, it's at the end of Shmuel Beis. Ne'um David ben Yishai. These are the words of David ben Yishai. Un'um hagever hukam ol. The words of the man who was raised up above. So what does that mean, hukam ol? It means ne'um David ben Yishai shehekim oila shal tshuva. That he set up, he established the yoke of tshuva. So what does that mean? So there's a lot of different explanations. Among others, Marsha talks about that oila over here also means Meloshana Korban oila. A Korban oila is brought for bad thoughts, we know. Bad deeds that a person does. There's a chatas, an asham, or whatever. Here we know the famous thing, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that it wasn't really an aveda, kola ima David chata ene alatoya, because she was already divorced, etc. So therefore it was only a thing, b'machshava, it was only that he thought to do wrong. Bathsheba was divorced. We talked about whether it was a conditional, unconditional, whatever it was. But so technically she was mutatame. It was only a wrong thought that David had.
She was
divorced. Yeah, so hekim ola shal tshuva. So in that sense, David set up, David established that not only when a person does an aveira, they have to do tshuva, but even when a person thinks an aveira, they have to do tshuva. And that's what he did. That's one explanation. There's also the Teres Chaim points out the word hukam is in passive form, not heikim, but hukam. He was raised up. He was set up, which means this fits with what the Gemara was saying before, that he was set up, so to speak, like Hashem arranged things in order that this should happen in order to show the power of Tshuva. And one word, Chassidus talks about Shehekim Oyla Shal Tshuva, means that David wasn't the first person in history to do Tshuva. Other Marishan even did Tshuva. Reuven did tshuva, Yehuda did tshuva. David was the first one to do tshuva ilah. Oyla shal tshuva, melashal tshuva ilah. The higher level of tshuva that the Rebbe talks about, negeret tshuva, David was at least, if not the first one, he was the first one to make it that it became an established thing among the Jewish people, that such a thing is possible.
He was the first to do Tshuva Ilah.
To do Tshuva Ilah, yeah.
Avram,
where do we find that Avram did Tshuva? Where do we find that Avram did Tshuva? I mean,
okay.
A person does one single mitzvah in this world, it goes ahead of him, it precedes him, and it goes before him in Olam Haba. Shenema, as the passage says, your tzidkus, your righteousness will walk before you, the glory of Hashem will gather you in. But if a person is over one avera, then it wraps him around, and carries him to the Yom HaDin, to the judgment. Marsha points out, the point is, like a person doesn't need to be carried to Gan Eden, a person goes there willingly, therefore like the mitzvah leads the way and he follows, whereas when it comes to the Yom HaDin, a person has to be schlepped there, and therefore in that sense, malafaster, it's surrounded. Shenema, the pasuk says, "You loft to orchos darkam ugaim." A pasuk from Eov, they're grabbed by the ways of their by the paths of their ways. You loft to meloshin melafaster. It's related to this melafaster that it wraps them around. Rabbi Loza, I'm a kshura by kekela. Rabbi Loza says the avera ends up getting tied to him like a dog. So either it means I think Marsha talks about that. It just means like a person holds a dog by a leash. And it's wrapped around his arm or whatever. Some of the Mepharshim talk about something that we learned in Sanhedrin, that dogs, when they mate, they're stuck together for a while afterwards. They can't separate right away like most creatures can. So in that sense, like the Avera is stuck with him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, by Yosef with Potiphar's wife, V'lai Shama Esla, he didn't want to listen to her, Lishkab Esla, to lie with her, Liyosima, to be with her. So what does that extra word Liyosima mean? It means Lishkab Esla ba'olam hazeh, Liyosima ba'olam haba. Means he didn't want to lie with her in this world because then he would be with her in Olam Haba because the Aveda would be stuck to him. He didn't want that. Do we want to continue or should we? All right. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem. All right. Laser, hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow, maybe.
I'm sorry?
Well, hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow, maybe.
Mr. Shem, I'm not feeling great. So we'll see. Mr. Shem, definitely, God willing, definitely by conference and hopefully in person.
Okay, sounds good. All right.
I wanted to push back a little bit on the beer about. All right, can I speak to you for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wanted to push back a little bit on the beer of Pesachim Pe. I don't fully understand. I mean, I don't think it's Pesachim Peh if Hashem was the one that caused them in the first place.
Right, but after all, I mean, the question is, well, how is it Pesachim Peh? How does it give an opening for Baalei Teshuva in the future if Hashem orchestrated it this time? You know, when you get down to it also, I mean, you have the famous thing that Amman points out. If Hashem knows what a person is going to do, then how does a person have the Chiruch Chofshes? And you have that famous paradox, which the Amman says, we human beings have no way of understanding it. So in that sense, right. Then, so it's a matter of degree. It's a matter of here when it came to Matan Torah, and when it came to the Eagle, I should say, or when it came to David and Bathsheba, just according to the natural way of things, there wouldn't have been any way that they did this Aveda. The fact that they did is based on a sort of, so to speak, a special arrangement of Hashem. But in general, when a person does an Aveda, it's also the same thing in a lesser sense, because Hashem knew in advance they're going to do the Aveda. Hashem's Yediyah doesn't force the Bechira, but nevertheless, the person could figure to themselves that, look, Hashem knew I was going to do it, so obviously I was destined to do it. But we tell him that, look, in this case, Hashem also orchestrated it, and yet they used their bechira, and they did tshuva, and they were forgiven for it. So the same way, whether you're a yachid, whether you're a tzibur, you're able to accomplish that also.
Where do you see the bechira, though?
Degree. What?
I didn't see the bechira. Rashi says, "Gzeras melech is a lishleit bam."
I understand, but my point is that when a person regularly does an avera, it's also gzeras melech. It's also Hashem knows in advance that they're going to do the avera.
Maybe it's a Ner Alil Al
B'Nei Adam. What? Yeah, Ner Alil Al B'Nei Adam, yeah. So, and yet we say a person has Bechira, that Hashem's Yediyah doesn't force the Bechira one way or the other. So over here,
are you saying in this case there was Bechira?
What?
Are you saying in this case, even
Yes,
in this
so
case,
there was
Bechira still?
Yes, there was still Bechira, but here it was just a different kind of Bechira. Again, the same. Again, you know, the analogy with Paro is useful also, Lahavdil, but, you know, the analogy with Paro is also, you know, I mean, even after by Chazak Hashem slave Paro, he still could have forced his way through Dochak Menichnas and done Shuvah and let the Jewish people go, right? But he didn't, and therefore he got the consequences. So the same way over here, you know, even with his Gzeras Melech and whatever, the point is they still, and with the Jewish people and with David, they still could have powered through, they still could have gotten through it, even so to speak, with Hashem stacking the deck against them. They didn't, and therefore they needed to do tshuva. But a regular person also, the deck isn't stacked against them quite as much, but still, there's always Hashem's idea. And nevertheless, right. They still have that. Nevertheless, Hashem still gives you the choice.
Right, right. Okay.
Full choice.
All right, Yashar Kayach. Tomorrow's 8:15, okay. Right, Hashem?
Yeah, that's Hashem.
Okay. All right, Shkayach. Have a good swap.
All right.
Take care, bye.